heritage for the world, something that is actually protected now, as if it was a building or a landmark of some kind. And that song has brought calm, soothing, peaceful images to people for a long time. And when we sing that, often if you've been in church before, that's the song that will end a Christmas Eve service or the Sunday before Christmas. Usually we have candles, and it's that 3 minute, it almost feels like a respite from the storm of life. But this song was born in a time that was not calm. There were few moments of silence when Silent Night was first written down. You see, in 1816, Europe had been in war for decades. The Napoleonic Wars of Conquest, you know, that guy who took elephants over the mountains of Italy and conquered places. That war and those revolutions that had permeated that part of the world turned allied neighbors into enemies. The land was besieged as the wars ended, and suddenly people had new borders to deal with. New countries were formed, and it tore apart relations between nations and cities and families. War ended, and it was replaced by famine and economic instability and poverty. Does that sound like peace to you? Not so much. And then a young priest wrote a 6-stanza poem, and it was his attempt to add a few words of hope and peace into the lives of people he loved in the town that he was serving in. In December of 1818, 200 years ago this month, he gave his poem to a friend and said, "I want you to come up with a memorable tune, a melody, so that it can be shared and sung by other people." And in that moment, 200 years ago, this song was birthed. Poem and melody were joined together, and suddenly Christmas had a new song that people could sing. It was created during that peaceful pause after war. Hunger and hardship were devastating the world. A volcano had exploded the previous year that lowered the world temperatures by 1 to 2 degrees, which does not sound like much, but crops failed all over the world, and people were hungry and needing a sense of hope and desiring peace on earth. And this song offered a promise of comfort, hope for true peace to come, peace that we know, especially in the church, as Jesus Christ. Peace often, if you Google it or you look in a dictionary, it's often called freedom from disturbance, quiet, tranquility, or sometimes we call peace the ceasing of war or violence. Yet often we see our need for peace most clearly when there isn't much of it in our life. We see it when there's a lot of conflict and noise and suffering around us, and that thing that is within us, that God created us with, yearns for peace. This is the world that Jesus also came into when he was born. That original silent night when Christ was born was not very silent, and we're not just talking about a bunch of animals in the barn making noise. The world was not at peace. A divide existed between God and his people, and actually all people. There was conflict among families and nations. There was political tumult. There was oppression, Roman oppression in Israel. There was demanding physical travel for Joseph and Mary when the Romans decided, let's take a census and let's make everyone have to travel to their hometown. And there was unrest in the hearts of many. And it was at this moment in history that Jesus came as the Prince of peace. Hallelujah! At that moment, Jesus the Messiah was and is what the prophet Isaiah foretold he would be. Let me read Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It's important for us to remember, though, that Jesus is not merely a symbol of peace, like doing this, making the V sign, or putting a peace sticker on your bumper or something like that. Jesus is peace. He is peace. This was part of the very first angelic birth announcement. Luke 2 says this, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" That was the world that Jesus came into. And our world today is not so different from the world that Jesus entered. When he was born some 2,000 years ago, it was to a world filled with violence. Our world today is still full of war and violence. We are certainly more technologically advanced than in Jesus' day, although I'm not sure if that's always an improvement. Our fast-paced connectivity in ways has brought people together and separated us ever more than we've ever been before. The rates of loneliness and depression and suicide are on the rise, not on the decrease. Some things come, what we call progress, with a cost. In many ways, our world and the things that we have gained have added to our anxiety, our stress, and fatigue because the pace of life is so fast. What we see around us and what we do each day might look different than it did in Jesus' day, but we still have the same hopes and joys, the same struggles. We struggle to survive and we hope to thrive. Those are common human hopes and struggles that we share with the same people that Jesus spoke to in the flesh. We have much to be thankful for in our lives and in our communities and country, and yet peace can and does get kind of squeezed out of our life, sometimes more than others. Have you ever been somewhere that suddenly got really quiet? You're talking in a crowd and there's an event happening, and then all of a sudden it's like everyone got the memo and you didn't, and you just burst out in loud talking, and you realize everyone else has stopped because maybe someone has come onto a stage or someone has entered the room and you're the only one talking. And you only recognize that in amidst the silence that's around you. Or maybe the power goes off at your house or your business and you're suddenly aware, whoa, it's really quiet in here. There's no buzzing of drink machines over there, or computers, or other things. Sometimes we don't recognize the noise that's all around us until it gets really, really quiet. And then we become aware of the silence. And I believe that the same can be true for peace in our lives. Sometimes we become so tuned to the commotion and busyness around us, and we can play into that, that we don't even notice the noise and the chaos and unrest until it stops. During Advent, there's a purpose to this season. There's a reason that we both wait and we anticipate, hopefully. We take this time because we're in a season that is designed to help us take time to reset our hearts and minds, to be still and listen and wait for God to wait for Christ to be born. In fact, one of the reasons I love Advent so much is that by the time we get to Christmas, we actually can then enter the season of Christmas, which should be 12 days long. Imagine 12 December 25ths all in a row. That seems way better than trying to jump the gun at Walgreens back in September. Peace is a wonderful gift that you can unwrap today. It's a free gift. It's a gift that God has always provided. And when Christ returned back to heaven after he had lived his life, died on the cross, rose from the dead, he goes back up into heaven and he leaves what? His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, God's very presence, to continue to offer you that same peace that is offered when Christ was born. When Jesus was born, a new life came into the world, offering first peace with God, a peace that had not been known before that point. Now, what I'm going to say might be controversial to some of you. You are either a bumper sticker person or you're not. If you're a car person, you're probably not for pro bumper stickers. And yet, we've all seen a car, and I apologize if it is your car, that is just full of bumper stickers. You know, I'm not a fan of bumper stickers, usually. I like my bumpers to kind of look nice or just have, you know, dead bugs on them, and that's about it. But there is this bumper sticker, and perhaps you've seen it before. I decided not to put a picture of it because I don't want to embarrass anyone if you might happen to have this on your car. And it says this: no God, no peace, N-O. And then it says, no God, no peace, K-N-O-W, peace, no God. And on the back of a car, you might see a bumper sticker like that, and you're like, that is so corny. That's so cheesy. What a cliche. And you wouldn't be wrong. And yet, there is some truth in that. It's not necessarily a truth I would want to put on the back of my car, just because I don't really like bumper stickers. But when we know God, we can experience peace because of who Jesus Christ is and what he did in coming to live on earth. Peace with God. Romans 5 says this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Jesus brings and allows peace with God. If you have no peace with God, you can know no other peace in your life. You might have a measure of earthly peace, but you will not know true peace without peace with God. It's our first and greatest need, peace with God. And before you come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, you are not at peace. We are in conflict with God. It's the reality of sin. It's what Amy mentioned last week when she was preaching the word and talking about God's original design, and then we messed it up by choosing sin. We chose to be at war with God. This was not God's original design, as you shared with us. It was not his intention. But ever since sin entered the world, we've been at odds with God. And something had to change, and something did, and he sent his son to earth. You know the story if you've been in the church for any length of time. We remind ourselves every Christmas season of this story. No conflict on earth, no matter how bad it is, can compare to this need for peace between God and his creation. Peace with God. It's one of those things we desperately need. It's the reason God sent his son that first Christmas. I don't think they called it Christmas yet, but when God sent his son, it's so that we could have peace with God. When you have that peace, whether it's for the first time or you have kind of a renewed realization of that peace that God is offering to you, barriers are removed. Things that kept you apart no longer have the power to do so. And they're replaced by a new relationship and new identity and new purpose, and you are filled with hope and peace and joy and love. And not every single moment do you feel that. Peace with God is a gift that keeps on giving. May God give you the grace to lean into and experience the peace of this reality today and beyond. Peace with God. That's the first piece. Second piece, peace within. There is so much to pull us away from the peace of Christ, but thankfully that's why Jesus lived as one of us. He knows that. He knows that everything pulls us away from him. He knows the unrest we feel within ourselves. Some of you are here today and things are not settled at all inside of you. And you desire peace within. Jesus knows the broken world that surrounds you and all the unrest that's clamoring around like noisy gongs in your life. And it is to our unsettled minds and hearts that the Bible speaks these words of comfort from Philippians 4. I have them up on the screen. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful promise to boost your hope today? What a powerful peace that we can experience, peace that transcends everything our mind can think of, every worry that keeps you crippled at night, everything that's racing through your mind. His peace transcends all of that. It defies logic. It defies reason. It makes no sense. In other words, peace shows itself most strongly in circumstances where peace doesn't make any sense. And sometimes that's when we feel it. At those moments in our lives where we don't feel very peaceful, where there's not a lot of good that's happening, and that still small voice of God's Spirit can speak, peace, peace, be at peace. For you, maybe it's a tragedy this past year, or an illness, or a conflict, or ongoing heartache, whatever the case may be. In every circumstance, God is there offering you peace. Jesus himself, as he was preparing to leave, said, "My peace I leave with you and to you and for you." Some of you particularly don't need a peace that is calm and restorative at this moment. You know, you might already feel that. You might already be in that place. Know that peace is not just those things. It's also strong and active. Peace is not weak or lackluster, but powerful. Peace has power. It says power to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is not a peace that's always doing this. Oh, I'm at peace. This is a peace that is bold and strong. And this peace is not just a theory or a concept or some pie in the sky idea. God gave us the gift of peace in a person, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. There's a reason he's called Emmanuel, God with us. If God is with us, then peace is with us right now. If you believe in Jesus, you have the Spirit of God in you right now, the Holy Spirit. You have peace within your grasp. All you have to do is reach out and take it. Not take it because it's your own, but take it because it is freely given to you and for you. Last week, Pastor Amy coolly connected the word breath and spirit when she led us through part of Genesis, and I like that kind of wordplay. I want you to take a moment, and I just want you to breathe in and breathe out. Did you know that the very act of exhaling, if we know that the word breath and spirit are connected, the very act of exhaling reminds us that the gift of peace within is available and within you right now. Sometimes just that very act itself can bring a measure of peace. It might not solve everything. It might not make everything perfect. You may still be experiencing the same emotions that you did 2 seconds ago. And yet something can be different in that moment. How? Because Jesus has left his spirit to continue to be peace and to create peace within you. The presence of God with you now. Allow the peace of God to fill you right now. Ask for it, and it shall be given to you. Ask in faith. Now, this peace doesn't guarantee the storms of your life will end. In fact, peace never does that. But it does say that God will be with you even in the midst of the storm. That as you're on the boat like he was with his disciples, what was Jesus doing in the midst of the storm while the disciples were panicking on the boat? He was sleeping. He was at perfect peace. Sometimes my wife says, you know, we could probably have an earthquake in the middle of the night. I might not wake up at all because I'm just sleeping so soundly. We can have that even in the midst of the storm of life. In fact, your troubles may continue to rage, but know this, God is always and still with you. This gift gives you the ability to be calm and confident and at peace, even in the storm. Sometimes I think that's why some of the storms that we encounter aren't easily removed or quickly removed, getting us to really trust God even more, to rest in his peace in that moment. May God give you the grace to experience this reality today and beyond. Peace within. And last, peace to come. Or if you wanted to say it another way, peace without, like outside of you. This is perhaps the hardest one for us. Peace without. What about those situations that you can't change? What about those relationships that are broken that you can't heal? What about the chaos that you can't calm? What about the hurts that continue to be unhealed in your life? What about the violence that you cannot understand? What do we do with the need for peace in our world? Again, I'm glad that Amy brought this up last week because she said we live in this in-between time of now and not yet. Yes, we are given the gift of peace in the interim, but it's not a complete peace. It's not a total peace because we're still here on earth. Sin is present. We don't follow God with our whole hearts. Whole range of things are still in play. Now and not yet. We wait to celebrate Christ's coming at Christmas, and at the same time, we wait for Christ to return to earth. The peace we long for in our world is a peace that is still to come. It is a final restoration promised, but not yet realized. It is something that all of the people we read about in the Bible hoped for, and yet died not seeing it all come to pass. And that may be true for us too. We don't know. We hope Jesus comes soon. In fact, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. But until then, We look to the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. In fact, his words, we cling to them in hopeful anticipation of this peace to come. He says this in John 16, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In me you may have peace at the same time that you have trouble. It's one of those paradoxes that doesn't completely make sense for us. And yet I'm so glad that we have the ability to receive and hold on to peace even when we're struggling. God recognizes the brokenness that we live in and among. He knows. He understands why we get discouraged. But his word here encourages us to remember the person of peace, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In him is peace, past, present, and peace to come. We live in that not fully yet time. And so we trust in Jesus' promise that he has indeed overcome the world. May God grant you the grace to experience this reality of peace today and in the year to come. I never get tired of unwrapping these gifts every Christmas. Sometimes people have said, does it get kind of the same, you know, talking about the same themes of Christmas and sometimes at Easter? No, it's so good to unwrap these gifts again. Why? Because I, like you, get forgetful during the year, and so it's good for us to reground ourselves in these gifts. These are gifts from God that are always available to you. Receive them, and as you do, may hope be restored in you. May the peace of God become peace with God for you. May it become a peace that grows within you and transforms your without, all of those things around you. Amidst your chaos, the warfare and unrest in your life and our world, let me encourage you that the Prince of Peace is greater than all of that. His peace is more powerful. It is the peace we long for, hope for, and pray for now and always. We celebrate this Advent season. We recognize that we wait with longing for Christ to come. But as we do, continue to seek the Lord, my brothers and sisters. May the peace of Christ satisfy you, calm you, and renew your strength and hope this season, filling you now and forever. Amen. Let's pray this morning. God, thank you. Thank you that in this season of Advent, we can unwrap your gift of peace. Fill us now and forever. Help us to live in that peace that you provided through Jesus. Help us to rest in the peace you give in the midst of life. Help us to trust in the peace of knowing that you have overcome the world. Fill us and hold us as we encounter you now and forever. We give you praise, O God. Amen.